buttons are working.
Well, you're pushing all my buttons.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh. Why?
Just look at you.
I look fine.
Look like you're pushing all my buttons.
Oh. In a good way?
No.
Oh. Has anyone ever had their buttons pushed in a good way?
Maybe. I think so.
When you squirt, you've had your button pushed in a good way. You know?
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Well, we're your favorite button pushers. I'm Jeremy.
It's going to pop.
And that's Boss.
Get a close-up on the cunt. It's beautiful.
Yes, exactly.
And this is the Raincoat Report. Hello. Welcome again. Let me put my keys down because I'm here to stay. Sorry, I have a book that I need to access to because there's other stuff inside of it. But, yeah, how's tricks?
They're for kids still.
Yeah, not rabbits. Ever. They would kill a rabbit.
Yeah, rabbits don't need to be eating processed cereal.
No, neither do children.
Probably not.
But it keeps dentists busy.
It does. And as long as you can follow the wheel of money, you'll always know what's going on.
Hmm. It's true. Well, doesn't pertain to anything, does it?
I guess not.
No, but it's Derby Day here in Kentucky, and there is a wheel of money.
There is.
They run around in a wheel, like a horse.
Yeah, and
like
then
a track. A horse track.
Right. And they make money, and all the degenerate gamblers, most of them lose money. A few make money.
A few make money, and some horses probably get beer bottles thrown at them. But they don't show you that on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. They probably don't have glass in there, I imagine.
Probably not.
They probably get you your beer in one of those. I've never been, really, even though I've lived here all my life.
Yeah, me neither.
You get your big cup of beer, though. I guess it's like mostly foam, and you drink it in the hot sun, and you slide around in the mud.
Oh, yeah, the infield experience.
Yeah, that's, I think, probably where I would end up, because I don't have any money.
Right. Yeah, Stephanie said that it used to be like $20 to get an infield ticket, and now it's like $150.
You gentrified the infield.
I'm pretty sure people inside still get, like, sloshed and right, but shit all over themselves.
Yeah, but they're paying way more for the experience.
Yeah, it's a higher tax bracket of people sloshing around.
Yeah, it's all just a bunch of goddamn
Gen Xers. Middle class.
Upper middle class Gen Xers and millennials fucking sloshing around. These poor guys are out there rattling the gates looking for a winning ticket someone discarded. Collecting cigarette butts and such. That's where the working man is. But where we are is deep inside Annie Sprinkle.
Yes, we are. So we are talking about 1981's Deep Inside Annie Sprinkle, directed by Joe Sarno, although credited to Annie Sprinkle.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she did any camera work?
I don't know if she did any camera work, but she certainly may have had creative contribution.
Sat in one of those, like, chairs? A big megaphone?
Maybe. I don't know. There aren't many scenes where she's not on screen.
That's true. She, she's like other famous, like, writer, actor, directors, you know? People that put it all out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she really does, doesn't she?
She certainly does. She puts everything out there, really.
And many things into her as well.
Yes, yes, indeed. So, this is one that has, like, a long history of, like, home video success.
I can see that. This definitely feels like one that was, because this came out, and you said 81?
Yes, 1981.
So home video wasn't quite there yet, but it was just close enough that this one, I think, remained in the consciousness and probably did really well on video, or just, I guess, just Annie Sprinkle fan in general, fandom, the perverts.
Yeah.
You know.
It was appreciated by all the perverts, and I think that also, I don't know that this is the first film like this, it probably isn't, But it's a great example of what we would see in later years as a superstar showcase, so to speak, where we have not only a film built around a particular actor, and of course there were certainly films in the past that were built around a single like actor or actress, but...
Yeah, and we've covered some stuff like this before.
Right.
Malin versus Serena.
Sure.
Undulations to an extent.
Right.
It's just like interviews with Jamie Gillis and John Holmes.
But this, unlike those, is focused around one person.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think one of the keys is that she's addressing the camera
throughout
the film directly. Yeah. So I think the idea is to make a connection to the pervert on the other side of the screen.
Right. You want to get deep inside of her as much as you can through the screen.
And there are multiple promises that perhaps if you're hanging around in New York City one day, Annie Sprinkle will suck you off.
You think it's still, like, good?
I don't know, maybe.
She's still around, isn't she?
She is a sex educator these days.
Okay, I remember you saying that before. I just didn't know if she had maybe passed on since you said that.
I'm pretty sure she hasn't.
Well,
I think I looked it up.
Guess we're going on the road.
Yeah, we're going to go find the theater that she's in this movie.
And yeah.
Just wait for her to come by.
Yeah, hopefully they're still showing Annie Sprinkle films.
Yeah, an Annie Sprinkle Film Festival, as we'll see.
It's a retro.
An Annie Sprinkles Film Festival.
It's a retrospective. That's what you call it these days.
Yeah.
You can just show any old smut.
Thankfully, there's a lot of... while there's not a ton of narrative here, there's a little bit to sink your teeth into, but mostly it's her presenting the audience with different sexual scenarios, but... there's certainly a wide variety of things on display here, as we'll get to. So it certainly will be fun conversation for the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. It could be very easy for a film like this to just sink into like unwatchable repetitiveness. And
yes.
I think it does avoid that, as we'll explore. Do we talk about some of our supporting cast?
We have not yet, but we certainly should. Because, of course... Annie Sprinkle is not alone here.
Yeah, she can't get deep inside herself all on her own.
I mean, she can, but not as thoroughly as she can with the help of such people as serially accused sex offender Ron Jeremy.
Exonerated.
Not exonerated.
Fully and totally cleared. Judgment rendered.
Found unfit to stand trial, Ron Jeremy. but we also have...
I like it, though. I like that now we can have some tension on it. We don't have to be in agreement. It adds some flavor to the podcast.
We have such names as Lisa B.
Yep, she's there. She's always hanging out with Ron Jeremy.
She certainly is. We got Colleen Anderson... Diane May, gentlemen such as Ron Hudd.
Kind of a fantasy man in a way.
Like, yeah.
She presents him as like her like ideal hot porn stud.
Yes, as we'll see. He's certainly, kind of a fantasy.
We've got a man I don't think we've seen much of, but his name is Roger Ram. He's one of the arm wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great name.
It certainly is. Jake Teague.
Yeah, he's down there as well.
The stereotypical old man of early 80s porn.
Yep. Good to have one.
Michael Gaunt of Corruption fame.
Mm-hmm. We have two people who like make their debuts. I think it's a must be husband and wife team, Buddy Hatton and Bunny Hatton?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I do not like to see Buddy Hatton.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, we get a fun modeling scene with them. There's a woman named Mal O'Ree.
Oh, yeah.
Who she refers to just as O'Ree in the film.
There's a woman named Sassy.
Yeah, Sassy. There's a large number of characters that Annie... is able to introduce us to along the way.
Okay, so Bunny Hatton, I think this was their debut. Later, kind of like her stage name became Misty Blue Sims. And okay. She was in some other stuff, you know, after this.
We get some on-screen footage of Sonny Landham and Crystal Sink in a film at the Annie Sprinkles Film Festival. but yeah, it's a fun cast. And of course, Joe Sarno, we've covered one of his films so far, Deep Throat Part 2.
Yeah, this one is a lot less complex than that one, I would say.
Yes, this one, I think, because he had a long history of making like sexploitation films in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And I think that he was probably better at that than he was at making hardcore films. But I'll say that there's some pretty solid like technical work in this film.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that, you know, and again, some of the creativity here might belong to Annie Sprinkle. Although the notes that I've seen have pretty much indicated that Joe Sarno just wanted to give credit to the people that he worked with, because he also directed Inside Little Oral Annie,
mm-hmm.
which she's credited with, but he apparently directed. So just
a good collaborator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
But Joe Sarno, his films can be a little hit or miss. I think some of his sexploitation films are really good.
Yeah, we should.
But I think that
work our way into covering some of those at some point.
I think of the hardcore films of his I've seen, this one stands out quite a bit, but the bar is a little low on those. But yeah, there's a lot to get into here because Annie Sprinkle has apparently a wide range of interests.
Yes.
And we're about to find out all about them and what she's got going on deep inside Annie Sprinkle.
Excellent.
You know, I am a real exhibitionist, and I love to have sex in very public places. Sometimes, if I see one of my movies is playing, I'll go in and sit down and start watching myself fucking and sucking on that big screen, and that makes me very, very horny. So, I get carried away, and I start doing all the guys around me. It's really nice. So don't be surprised if you're ever in a movie theater and I come in and I sit right next to you.
So this is distributed or produced by Evart Productions.
Okay.
I kind of clicked on there to see like what they did. I assumed like mostly porn. No, a lot of wrestling.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, including they were, I guess, the production company or at least something involved in WrestleMania 1.
Okay.
Things like that, as well as another Joe Sarno film called SS Operation Wolf Cub. A mercenary soldier on a dangerous mission is trying to infiltrate neo-Nazis in Sweden. And can you guess who that man might be? None other than Harry Reams. So we're definitely going to have to track that one down.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, a bunch of like documentaries on like different wrestlers, like, or not documentaries, probably like best of tapes.
Okay.
Like Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, British Bulldogs, etc. So it's interesting. That's just a sort of, I think that's just sorted by popularity, or at least what's listed on IMDb. I don't know why the film we're watching isn't listed there, but whatever.
What, Deep Inside Annie Sprinkle?
Yeah.
It's on IMDb.
It's not on the Evart page, but it might be because it's pornography.
Oh, yeah.
It might not be listed on their main page. Because I'm sure SS Operation Wolf Cub is probably at best softcore.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Mr.
Wow, look at those tits.
Is probably like sticking it to the Nazis in that way.
Probably. I don't know. I hope so.
Oh, you'll have to find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find
track
out.
Track that one down. But no, let's think about it for a moment, actually. How do you feel that the same people that put this out also put out a lot of wrestling stuff? That really kind of combines the two worlds you love.
It is. It makes me happy.
Okay, good. All right. Well, since you're happy, let's take a dive.
Let's take a dive deep inside Annie Sprinkle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when doing so, we open with our starlet, Annie Sprinkle, playing piano before standing up and pouring some champagne and taking a drink as credits scroll. She's in a very sheer and boobalicious dress.
Yes.
She sits down and introduces herself as Annie Sprinkle. She asks how we are and talks about how she'd like to get very close and intimate with us. She tells us that she's 26 years old and a Leo.
Just like me.
Oh yeah, are you a Leo?
Yeah, I'm 26 years old.
Oh. She shows us some pictures from the past, which are kind of weird in this context.
No, it's fine. You're one getting deep inside of her.
One is of her at 3 years old. Another is of her at 5 years old, which she adds, she was still a virgin here, thankfully.
That's good.
She shows us another picture at 16. She adds she was still a virgin here. She hadn't met any guys she really liked and was still worried that her first time would hurt. She then shows another picture of her and some friends, taken when she was in high school. She adds that they were all straight-A students. Then she shares a picture of her family, who I'm sure were thrilled to be in this film. She says that she was the oldest of four children. She adds that they were the best family anyone could ever have, and that they know about all of the sex stuff she does for a living, and they try to understand it. Boy, is there a lot to process in this film. She shows another picture of herself alone, this time in a black and white sundress. She explains that this is her at 17, and she's not a virgin anymore. My cherry finally got popped, she says. She says that she met a nice guy who taught her all about sex. She loved it, and a month later, she had fucked half of Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, I made a note of that.
She says that she wanted to fuck everyone, and she still does. She explains that she had odd jobs working as a waitress. She worked in a movie theater. She says that she had one good job as a wallpaper hanger at a construction job. She was the only woman working with a bunch of strong men. She would wear short shorts and low-cut tops and flirt with all of the men. She says, needless to say, she got nailed by the carpenters, laid by the carpet layers, and got real turned on by the electricians.
Well, yeah.
Annie asks if we would like to see what she would do with two hunky men now.
Yes.
And she tells us, just watch me.
Okay.
So we pan over and we see two muscular naked men lying on the carpet there, their hands interlocked and arm wrestling.
I do appreciate how it's all like within the film. I had kind of assumed that this might be like a thing that panned to scenes from other films.
Uh-huh.
And I was delighted to find out that that was not the case.
Yes. So this is... David Mesa and Frank Vickers, who I believe is also Roger Ram.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're just naked, kind of oiled up, and laying on the floor arm wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Annie walks over and lays down in between them, noting how hot they are. They both kiss on Annie's face, neck, and lips a bit. And then after a cut, we see Annie start to suck one of their cocks on her knees. We see her lay on her back and start to really throat his cock from below a bit. We cut to a guy sitting down and her sucking and stroking his cock. After a minute or so of this, we hear him moaning and he blows his load as she strokes his cock. And then she licks, sucks, and strokes it a bit more.
Yeah, she's licked all the oil right off these guys.
Yeah. We then see Annie on top of the other guy and she similarly licks and sucks and strokes him until he comes. We then move on to our next scene. We cut to Annie in a set of lingerie that exposes her breasts with blue tassels. She's wearing thigh highs and black panties. She asks us if we like big tits. And so I, in my living room, screamed, yes! Yeah. Yes, I do!
Yeah, I was like, go ahead and show them off.
She notes that she has large, sensitive ones, and she loves to have them played with. Annie says that she knows one girl that loves big tits. Her name is Sassy. The camera pans over and we see Sassy, who starts to lick and suck on Annie's nipples. Annie notes that she sucks them so nice. We get some close-ups of this, and this continues for a few minutes here.
Yeah, there's a long suckling.
Annie reaches down and plays with herself a bit as this is going on. The ladies then rub their breasts together a bit. Then Annie lays down on the bed. Sassy takes off Annie's panties and they continue to roll around and rub their breasts together and tongue kiss a bit. Annie works her way down Sassy's body, kissing and licking, until she makes it down to her pussy, which she begins to lick as Sassy moans and shudders.
I'll say the music in this scene, and the music in general I'll talk about later, but in this one it sounds like the start of like a Van Halen song.
Okay.
But never quite like gets to the part where Dave is like, you know, like talking about being a gigolo or anything.
Right.
It's just like the beginning of like a song of 1984 and then it just loops or ends.
Okay, yeah. We get some shots via a mirror that are nice of the action from other angles. And we watch this for a few minutes. She explains that she wants to dove fuck Sassy. She explains what dove fucking is, saying that you start by getting her pussy nice and slippery. Then we watch as Annie alternates licking on Sassy's clit and labia and then rubbing her breasts against Sassy's clit.
Yes. It's quite a sight to see.
Yeah. Then we see serial accused sex offender Ron Jeremy show up with his big cock.
Yeah, accompanied to the music's ended and changed at this point.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't know if you caught it. It just sounds like Lowrider.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
It accompanies him on screen. He's very young in this film.
Yeah.
Like, he's like baby-faced and has like a buzz cut, more or less, like a military kind of haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, Annie tells us that now she'd like a hard prick to come and fuck her between her tits. So, Ron Jeremy shows up and Annie strokes and sucks his cock a bit as he straddles her midsection. And then she starts to stroke his cock with her breasts. Sassy watches and rubs her own breasts excitedly, I guess getting an eyeful of this. Annie continues to stroke Ron's cock with her boobs. She lays back on the bed and Ron straddles her, titty fucking her, as Sassy climbs below to start to go down on Annie as this continues. After a couple minutes of this, Ron starts to moan hard and he comes on Annie's chest and face as he thrusts between her breasts. We then cut to Annie shooting pool at a, you know, pool table.
Yeah.
She's wearing like a black vinyl getup that also exposes her breasts. She tells us that what she really likes is a man's ass. She loves to suck them, bite them, and lick them.
Yeah, she gets hungry for them. She's like a horse to an apple.
She asks if we've ever wondered why she keeps her middle nail short.
I haven't, but you know.
She smiles at the camera, hinting at exactly why. She says that most men love to have their asses played with, if it's done correctly, adding that she knows just how to do it. So she climbs onto a bed where a man, played by Mark Valentine, is face down, ass towards the camera. She tells us that this is a delicious ass, and she wants to rub her tits on it and squeeze it. And she does just that, and then she buries her tongue in his ass and tells us that she likes to get her finger wet and then work it all the way inside and fuck it. And she does.
Hell yeah.
She then tells us that she likes to have her ass played with, too. It's very sensitive, and it gets her very, very horny. So we watch as Annie bends over, and Mark fingers both of her holes and kisses all over Annie's ass. He then produces a thin, beige butt plug and works it into Annie's ass and starts to use it to fuck her ass a bit. Annie moans in delight and plays with her clit. Then Mark works his cock into her ass and starts to anally fuck her doggy style. Annie reaches behind and caresses his legs as he's fucking her. After a minute or so of this, Mark works up from moaning to nearly shouting and pulls out, coming on her back and ass.
It's gonna pop.
Annie then tells us that sometimes when her pussy gets excited, it's all wet and starts to squirt hot pussy juice.
I got excited when I heard this, because I knew what was coming.
Yes, Annie was about to put her namesake to the test.
Yeah, this is the earliest of this we've seen.
I believe so.
But not the only thing we've seen, as our Patreon listeners will know. It was we recently covered 2016's All My Mother's Lovers.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and that film is nothing else if not wet.
Yes, it is quite a wet film. but this is also a wet film.
Yeah.
Quite a wet film.
This one's free. That one ain't. If you got $5 and you want to hear about it, patreon.com/raincoatreport. Get you hooked up.
Yeah.
Episodes are ad-free. I guess if you listen to like Spotify and you're not paying for Spotify, you have to hear ads when you listen to us. So if you don't want to hear that,
yeah,
you have $5, you'd rather give it to us than Spotify or the other devious app companies.
Yeah.
They removed related artists on Spotify.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
They're making it useless. They're making it useless, folks. So $5 a month, save your time, save yourself. Listen to us.
Yeah.
Just listen to us. Don't listen to anyone else. There are so many episodes for you to listen to. But now back to the episode.
Yes. Otherwise, though, our podcast doesn't have ads anymore, other than in that case.
Or when we decide to advertise whatever we're advertise.
Well, next time.
Products and such.
You know, yeah.
Like on our own. Like
what we just did.
Like the Kona Big Wave.
Oh, yes. The Kona Big Wave, which I'm having one this week as well.
Yeah.
So I do feel like I'm riding a big wave.
Thank you. I feel like I'm about to crash. So let's get on.
All right. Well, Annie tells us that this is her friend, O'Ree. Mal O'Ree.
Oh, yeah.
Who has been eating her pussy for an hour, and now it just wants to squirt. The camera pans down, and she's straddling O'Ree's face as she licks her from below. Annie pulls away from her face and plays with her clit a bit and moans. We see her licked a bit more, and then she finger fucks her a bit more, and then we see Annie start to squirt a bit. She plays with her clit a bit and squirts into her hand, dripping it into her mouth a couple of times. Wait, O'Ree. Wait, is this a guy?
It is a guy.
Oh, okay. I got this all fucked up. Mal O'Ree is a guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just thought it was a lady.
Yes. I don't know.
Okay.
I took these notes a week ago.
It's fine.
So yes, this is a guy, and that's important to the rest of the scene. But wasn't until now. So they get in a 69 position, and Annie starts to suck O'Ree's cock, because O'Ree is a guy. He fingers her ass and licks her clit more, and she squirts. She squirts in his mouth and onto his face and neck and chest repeatedly as she moans in delight. Yes, in fact, this is probably the wettest film we've covered since Water Power.
Yeah.
It's
quite messy.
This continues for a few minutes. And then Annie dismounts and spits into O'Ree's mouth. He sucks on her breasts, and then she squats over his cock. She mounts him cowgirl for a few strokes, riding his cock, and then dismounts and squirts on O'Ree. He's got a death grip on his cock as this is going on, because he's starting to lose his boner. But he strokes it and keeps it a bit hard. She rides his tip a bit more, and he gets hard again. She continues to squirt on him, and eventually he strokes and comes as she's squirting on his cock. And everything in the room was ruined.
Yeah. It's one of those times you hope they put down sheets.
Yeah.
Or, like, plastic mats before they probably started.
Probably plastic bags or something, hopefully.
A little tarp.
The
Walmart.
Something more than just sheets. Sheets weren't going to cover it this time.
No. Sheets are useless against squirt. If you ever had it happen, you take the sheets off later, and you didn't, like, prepare, you're going to get a stain.
Yes.
It's going to be stains, buddy.
We cut to Annie in a sheer pink gown. She tells us that she loves the way women's bodies look when they make love, and it gets her very excited. She tells us that she's arranged a slumber party, and we're invited. So then she introduces us to her guests one by one. She introduces us first to Heather Gordon, who's credited as Heather Young on the Internet Adult Film Database.
Mm-hmm.
who she notes is gorgeous. And indeed, she's lovely. And we have Bobby, Barbara Miller. She notes her sensual smile and her pretty face. Then she introduces us to Diane, played by Diana May. She says, she has some pussy. Then we get introduced to Judy Bilodeau. A dear friend of hers for years, she says. She likes to come and come and come.
Excellent.
Then she introduces us to Lisa B. Wait till you see this. She tries to expose Lisa's breast, but Lisa pulls away and smiles and then walks away. Then we get introduced to Shisha Jones. I think her pussy's already wet, she says. Annie tells us that she's going to move in now for a closer look. So we see all around this room, the ladies are making out and caressing one another, split into duos.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to undress one another, and Annie joins one of the duos, creating a trio. We see a lot of tongue-kissing, cunnilingus, and masturbation around the room. The sex here is fairly well shot, but with the framing of the shots, it's hard to keep track of who is who and who's with who.
There's a lot more, close-ups, I think, than you would see in maybe something like a Carlos Tobolina film where he would just kind of show everyone at certain points. But also, do you think the film looked shakier in this part?
Yeah, there was a thing where some of the shots had a weird jitter in them.
Yeah.
I think it's some sort of technical issue with the way that it was shot, probably.
Probably. I didn't know if maybe this stuff had been cut and then recovered or...
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't really look like it, but, can't tell.
Yeah, there have been a few films that I've seen that have this kind of thing happen in some shots, and it in some cases, at least, I've seen, the people who remastered them say that, it was just an error in the film itself. Demons has a couple shots like this that are just, weirdly blurry.
Gotcha.
They weren't as obvious before they got, really high-quality restorations.
Right, you couldn't tell... when you just had it on VHS, but once you got it into Blu-ray, they're like, "Hey, this looks a little funny."
Yeah,
and you had some nerd on the forum be like, "They ruined this film."
Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of a Carlos Tobolina sort of scene, but it is better shot.
Yeah,
all the ladies seem to be having a pretty great time. There's a group, I believe it's Annie, Lisa B, and Bobby, who are on the couch together playing with their clits as the rest of the ladies are on the floor going at it. They lick and suck on one another's nipples and finger each other. We share a bunch of licking and fingering across the room. Bobby's getting oral from two of the other ladies. Lisa B gets her asshole fingered. Eventually, the ladies all get in a circle of oral sex on the floor. The return of the oral Boris.
Yes, it's back. And this is a nice execution of it. There's a bunch of very quick shots of everyone eating each other out.
Yeah.
And then it flashes to it is the end of the scene.
Yeah.
It's cool. I don't know if we're at that point yet, but.
Yeah, that's where the scene fades out is just them.
They're in the oral Boris.
Yes.
They're all locked in.
Yes. So then we cut to a bedroom. Annie sits down on the bed and tells us that she wants to spend time with us because she wants to get close and very hot together. She lays back and tells us that she likes to spread our legs for us, and she pulls her panties aside and spends time chatting with us, telling us that she wants us to get close and very excited. She fingers her vagina and ass. She tells us that she wants us to get off with her as she continues to play with herself. She tells us how much she likes having us watch. She tells us that she's thinking about us.
You can definitely see why this one's popular on video.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that gets iterated on a lot in modern porn.
Yeah, jack-off instructions, right. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not giving deliberate instructions, but this is the sort of interaction of a jack-off instruction video.
Right.
Save for that.
Yeah, it's in the same vein. It's, it's a little crude, but they refine it later on.
She continues to chatter and play with herself. She asks if we'd like to see her vibrator, noting it gets her very hot, though it's not as good as our tongue. So she produces the 1980s version of a magic wand, which is a bit scary, but seems to get the job done as much as the modern version. So she presses it against her clit, and we see her getting wetter, and she moans and comes. She invites us to come with her as she squirts a bit. She comes a few times in succession and tells us, "Look at all that pussy juice." She finally tosses aside the vibrator and tells us to relax and come down with her. Then we cut to the heart of 1980s New York, the front of a XXX theater. We see Annie appear, and she walks up to a sign out front that reads, "Orleans Theater presents our main feature, the Annie Sprinkles Erotic Film Festival," advertising teenage grandmother, slippery when wet, teenage deviates, Jack and Jill.
Teenage grandmother, huh? Yeah.
See Annie's greatest hits this week only, it says. Annie said...
Oh, that's good. Like a Simpsons like movie title.
Right. So Annie says that she's a real exhibitionist, and she loves to have sex in public places. Sometimes, if she sees one of her movies playing, she'll walk in and sit down and watch herself sucking and fucking on the big screen and get really, really horny. She says she'll then start to do all the guys around her. She tells us not to be surprised if we're in a movie theater and she comes in and sits right next to us. This is perhaps the best advertising ever for a film up to this point.
Yeah, any film ever. Yeah, you put that in the trailer, just her saying that, and you're going to get asses in seats.
Yeah. So we cut to the inside of a porn theater as an Annie Sprinkle film plays on screen, which I believe is mentioned to be Slippery When Wet. Annie walks in and sits a couple seats away from Jake Teague. She looks at him flirtatiously and then moves to the seat right next to him. Jake looks at her and then looks at the screen and then looks back at her and finally makes the connection. "Oh my God, you're Annie Sprinkles."
I love the insistence on calling her Annie Sprinkles.
I wonder if she was known under both names. And
I guess so. I just love him being maybe just a confused old man, too.
That, too. But that's what the scene up front says.
That's what it said.
Yeah, and Annie Sprinkles is under her AKA at the Internet Adult Film Database, so whatever.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny when people get names wrong.
She smiles at Jake here, and Michael Gaunt behind them seems to have also realized what's happening. So Annie starts to ride Jake in a sitting cowgirl position in his theater seat. Another theater goer, played by Mike Feline, comes in and sits next to them. Annie dismounts and strokes Jake's cock, finishing him off, then sticking it back into her for a few more thrusts as she bounces on him. Annie looks at the row behind her and locks eyes with Michael Gaunt. He drops his pants and Annie sucks his cock as he plays with her breasts. Mike moves in and starts to eat her ass from behind as she sucks away. She keeps at this for a minute and finishes Michael off sucking and stroking him. Mike Feline then whips out his cock, and Annie starts to suck him off as the movie continues to play, and we hear dialogue from the movie. Annie finishes Mike off, catching his cum in her hand. We then cut to a photo lab, where Annie's walking around with a camera. She tells us that she's a genius photographer.
I think so.
She doesn't take pictures of bridges. She takes pictures of sex, because sex is her favorite subject matter. She shows us a couple of her pictures that are hanging up in the room that have appeared in magazines such as Partner and High Society. She tells us
the best.
Yes. She tells us that she loves photography and gets very excited by it, especially when she's doing nudes. So then we cut to Annie at a photo shoot with Bunny Hatton and Buddy Hatton. Bunny is in black and red lingerie, and Annie starts to take photos of her. She helps position Bunny as she takes more pictures. She has Bunny reveal her breasts and pinch her nipples before tossing her.
Pinch her nipples if you don't get it right.
No. Before tossing her bra aside completely. She has Bunny stand up and pull her panties down slightly and pose some. Then her panties are also thrown aside. Annie wants to get some close-ups of Bunny's pussy and helps position her labia a bit to get just the right shot. Annie asks if Bunny can get a bit wet, but then decides to take a hands-on approach. Annie starts to go down on Bunny, licking her clit and fingering her a bit. Annie then hands Bunny some beads that she inserts into Bunny, and Annie gets some pictures of Bunny's pussy with the beads coming out of it. Annie notes it's fantastic and really turning her on. Annie goes down on Bunny more as Buddy excitedly watches. Annie then invites Buddy to join them, and he is happy to oblige.
He just looks like all the worst parts of like what you think a Neanderthal look like.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like looking at him.
Fair enough. He was just some dude to me.
Yeah, he's just a very unpleasant looking dude. I don't need it.
Fair enough. As Annie continues to eat Bunny's pussy, Buddy undresses and walks over, producing his cock for Bunny to suck and stroke. Annie undresses and assists Bunny in sucking Buddy's cock. We then cut to Buddy fucking Annie doggy style as she licks Bunny's clit and finger fucks her. They pound away like this for a bit, and then the ladies get in a 69 position with Bunny on top. Buddy sticks his cock into Annie's mouth and then starts to fuck Bunny as Annie licks Bunny's clit from below, and Bunny goes down on Annie. Buddy continues to fuck Bunny before pulling out and coming in and around Annie's mouth, grinding against Bunny's ass a bit, then shoving his cock into Annie's mouth a bit more. We then cut to Annie standing in front of the New York City skyline. She tells us that all this sucking and fucking is making her even hornier. And the one thing that satisfies her more than anything in the world, well, that's nice, sensuous lovemaking with a guy she really likes.
Oh, yeah.
She tells us that she'd really like that now. Like
the kind of Marvin Gaye, let's get it on type lovemaking.
We cut to Annie in a yellow dress walking over to a piano and hitting some keys. She tells us that about a month ago, she met a guy named Ron Hudd. Her first reaction was that she had to make love to him. The nice, sensual, old-fashioned sort of love. She tells us that that's what she's going to do right now. So we see Annie walk upstairs and then walk into a bedroom where Ron Hudd is awaiting. They make out and we cut to Annie laying on the bed and Ron going down on her, licking her clit. She tells him to stick a finger in her, and of course he does. They kiss more, and we cut to Ron straddling Annie's chest. Annie sucks his cock, and he whispers for her to suck it hard. They kiss more, and we see Ron start to fuck Annie missionary. As he's fucking her, she reaches below and puts a finger in her ass. After a bit of this, Ron starts to pound her pretty hard, and then he pulls out, stroking to come on her pubes, and then make out with her more. We then cut to Annie in a park, walking out from behind a tree. She tells us that she's had such a wonderful and horny time with us. She thanks us, tells us that she loves us, and she hopes that we feel really good.
I feel great.
She tells us even with all that sex she's been having, she still feels really horny. She says that she hopes she runs into us soon. And then we get credits as Annie poses next to a tree. We then get text on the screen. What you have just seen is a true, accurate, and faithful reenactment of the erotic fantasies that I have lived and enjoyed. Annie Sprinkle. We cut again, and Annie reappears from behind a tree. She tells us that she'd love for us to write her a nice, hot, horny letter, so she's going to give us her address, and if we write to her, she'll write us back. Get your pencils ready, she says. And then we get on screen Annie Sprinkle, 132 West 24th Street, New York, New York, 10011.
You write some letters?
I think so.
Okay.
She smiles at the camera and winks before disappearing behind the tree again, and the film ends.
I like that. That was kind of like the Marvel post scene.
It was.
Of the day, post-credit scene of the day.
And in this case, I bet it got goons to watch it a second time.
I bet.
Because they didn't have their pencils ready. They were too busy jacking it.
No, they had their hands in their pockets, but they weren't looking for pens.
Right. So I imagine that ended up in at least a handful of ticket repurchases.
Yeah.
Just so they could send a letter to Annie Sprinkle.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to send letters to Annie Sprinkle? Thankfully for us, we can pause and reflect and write down our reflections on this film. Send it off to her.
Yes, so we'll take a quick break. We're going to write our letters to Annie Sprinkle, and then we'll be back to give you the Raincoat review on Deep Inside Annie Sprinkle.
Perhaps you didn't know that I am a genius photographer, but I don't take pictures of bridges and sunsets, things like that. Not at all. I take pictures about sex, because sex is my favorite subject matter. These are some of the pictures I've taken that have appeared in magazines like Partner and High Society. And while I really love it, I love doing photography and I get very, very excited by it, especially when I'm doing nudes.
Wow, that Annie Sprinkle, she sure took us on an adventure.
Yeah, it was like an episode of The Magic School Bus.
I guess so.
Uh-oh. It's going to be another crazy day or something. I don't remember. I haven't seen that show in like fucking 25 years.
Well, you know what show that we have every week? I don't know if it's a show. It's more of a segment.
It is a segment, and they call it...
The Raincoat Review.
So they do call it that.
Yeah.
Men do. And women.
Some men do.
Good men.
Good men do. Strong. John Goodman does.
John Goodman has heard of it. We should get him to say the Raincoat Review. That would probably cost like thousands of dollars.
Probably. I imagine he probably just doesn't have a cameo.
That would be good to think. I think they all do. Money's tight, even for the wealthy.
I guess so.
Especially for us. But I'm just going to stop throwing myself a pity party and let's get on to this review. Now, like I said, kind of at the beginning, I was prepared to be kind of disappointed in this one.
Okay.
It didn't have a very exciting premise to me, but I think it's handled very well. I think this film is it's a nice lighthearted romp through the imagination and bedrooms of Annie Sprinkles.
Right.
There are, of course, some problems. I would say one of the main complaints for me in this one is actually the music.
Okay.
There are two or three songs that are just repeated over and over, which is, I don't know, at times can get very grating, especially when the fake lowrider just keeps kicking in like every 4 minutes.
Okay.
But, you know, it didn't drive me quite mad. But that aside, yeah, I think this is the most Annie Sprinkle we've ever seen.
And, yeah, that's for sure.
You know, I think I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a fan now. I didn't know she could do all that.
She's certainly multi-talented.
Yeah, she's a multi-talent. She's a director and a writer and a squirter.
Yes.
You don't get that too often.
No, that's true.
Yeah. It felt a little overlong at like an hour and 33 minutes. I know which scene I would cut.
Okay.
To get it down to a nice 120. But,
what's that?
I think we all know. It's the one with the guy that I don't like.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I would just cut that one. But, yeah, it was an amusing time. It does seem like the kind of thing that's aimed at exploiting one, it's definitely aimed at exploiting like one particular actress, and I appreciate the way they went about doing that and creating like I said earlier, kind of like an in-universe, like fake mockumentary sort of way.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty novel concept that they did pretty well. It would have been easy to splice together old scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
And just kind of called it a day if that was a route they could have taken, but they didn't. So this elevates what could have been a cheap cash-in attempt to the level of a good cash-in attempt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saving all my best thoughts for my letter to Annie.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. But this one, I'd give a strong 3 stars.
Okay.
I don't know that I'll revisit it often, but I do think in the world of faux, real, pornographic documentaries, sort of thing where they kind of try to blend the, blur the boundaries a bit.
Yeah.
I think this is a good addition to that category. You know, in porn, they really got into, like, being John Malkovich before John Malkovich and such, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my review of this one.
Okay. I went into it with the understanding that it was a classic, so to speak, release. Mm-hmm. Something that had gotten a lot of attention back in the day. And so I had a bit of excitement going into it, and when I first watched this, I was a little disappointed with it. And so I did think the sex scenes were generally well shot, and there's a lot of variety to the sex scenes, so that's pretty good.
Oh yeah, I didn't mention the sex, but it's all there.
Yeah, it sure is.
I like the squirting.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's a scene that certainly sets it apart from the pack.
It does. It took me by surprise and held my head down and simulated drowning.
It was like being waterboarded.
Yeah, but good.
Right? my favorite scene would definitely be the theater scene.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It makes me think of that scene in Afternoon Delights with Vanessa Del Rio in that porn theater.
Yeah. I like it when they go into the theaters, you know?
Yeah.
When they get down and dirty.
Annie Sprinkle is a woman of the people.
Yeah. She's a woman of the gooners.
And we appreciate that of her. So I watched it, and then I was like, we should cover it for the podcast. So I watched it again like a few days after I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
And my second watch made me like it more.
Okay.
I think that at the end of the day, while it's not narratively dense, which is something that I appreciate in a porn film, what it does do is it's just on top of being full of fan service, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's getting in there and just being like, okay, what do the fans want to see? And it's giving them everything.
Yeah.
And I think I appreciate that. It's still not like the most engaging porn film that I've seen by far, but there's something about it that I think might draw me back for future watches.
All right.
I'm going to give it, when I first watched it, I gave it 2.5 stars.
Yes.
But I'm going to give it 3.
All right.
I'm on the fence. I almost gave it 3.5, but because I'm on the fence about giving it 3.5, I'm just going to give it 3.
I think that's fair. So we've come to the same conclusions, more or less.
More or less.
You liked it a little bit more than I did.
Yeah.
But I think the main difference is how many times we're going to go back and jack it to it.
Yeah.
And well, you know, gentlemen can disagree.
They sure can. Now, speaking of jacking it,
yeah.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or X at Raincoat Report.
Yes.
Raincoatreport@gmail.com if you want to email us. We already did our pitch for the podcast, but patreon.com/raincoatreport if you want to see our Friday episode where we're going to play the Game of Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, of course, Pornhub Roulette.
Yeah. We're letting the wheel spin. If it's black or red, I'm probably going to lose my house.
Yes, I gave it a couple spins, and then I spent a long time spinning, exploring one of the results of a spin, and
kind of went down like a wormhole.
I'll just say that you shouldn't watch Pornhub when you're hungry, much as you shouldn't go shopping when you're hungry.
Yeah. You can't listen to Weird Al when you're hungry either.
Yeah, especially not eat it.
Or Foil, which is about food.
Okay.
I could name Weird Al songs all day, but we need to get out of here.
Okay, so in the meantime, if you're going to go...
I love Rocky Road, My Bologna. All right, sorry.
If you're going to go down to the Weird Al concert, don't forget your raincoat.
If you're going
to
take a dive deep inside Annie Sprinkle, don't forget your raincoat.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, it's wet as hell up there.
By the way, I would love for you to write me a nice, hot, horny letter. So I'm going to give you my address. And if you write to me, I'll write you back. Get your pencils ready.